And we're back. The Durin Show back in action. You'll notice that we have a much better host right now. That is because I have decided to be lame and not participate in the next event. But I am pushing for us to get some recap because Marcus and Matt are both at Articon. And, you know, I know we haven't posted in like 16 years. But I figured if we were going to post some episodes, it should be while you guys are at the World event. And it's pretty exciting. You guys played in the Masters, and you're playing doubles and everything like that, and the GT. It's going to be interesting reviews of what you think so far and what your predictions are going to be and the whole shebang. So, Marcus, Matt, how are you guys doing?
Good, but there's a huge clarification of what you just said. It is the Masters Last Chance Qualifier that we're echoing.
Oh, yeah, Last Chance Qualifiers. That's right, yes. I meant that. Well, how'd it go? Since we're talking about the qualifiers that you guys played in.
It was a good chance to warm up. I'll just say that.
Well,
four games, Matt. I think I went 2-2 with two major losses and two wins.
Yeah, it certainly got challenging there. I started with a tie and then got a major win. No, a minor win and then two major losses. So, yeah, good warm-up opportunity.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is it's 650, right? So it's the same points as your GT, right?
That is correct.
So it's good warm-ups for your army. So you're getting all the rust shaken off. You're getting your stupid rolls out of the way. I know Matt was telling me some of the dice rolls he was having. It's just unbelievable. But you're getting all that out of the way.
In like true fashion, we practice really hard. Matt and I both have game test number one, or test game number one was our first round of this qualifier. So yeah, we're going strong.
Love it. But you guys are also playing doubles currently. And, you know, we're recording this after day one of doubles. They're doing 2 days of doubles, so six games. That is correct, right?
Yeah, three on day one, three on day two.
Nice. Okay. So how did day one go? What list did you guys take? And what did you see? What did you like that you guys did? What did you not like? And what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Well, we took Bjornings. I like the fact that because of the list construction rules, we have to be 20 points down. So no matter what happens, we either flex that we beat you without 20 points, or we only lost because we didn't have a full army. So.
I love it.
Hedging our bets.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just because each team has to be 350 on the button for a total of 700, and Bjornings need a multiple of 20 to be able to bring all their stuff. So we're each 10 points short of the 350 for a total of 20 points short.
Ah, that makes sense. So you have Bjorn, Grim Bjorn, and what, 15 Bjornings-ish 14. Between the two of you? 14?
Yeah, 7 each.
Nice. Okay. So how did it go? How did game one go?
So game one was funny. We actually, Mitchell played a doubles list that needed an extra player because the original one half of the team qualified for the Masters. So filling the gap in the team was Devin. So we played someone from the UK and Devin. And the guy from the UK actually had a Fields of Celebrant list like yours.
Nice.
He listened to your recap of that list back in the day. So as soon as we introduced ourselves, he's like, oh, your brother runs Fields of Celebrant. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was the doubles version of Contest of Champions, so Clash of Champions. So weighted pretty heavily in the Bjornings' favor because both Marcus's bear and my bear get leader point tallies the way that works out. So we're up against Earl and a King of Men, both mounted, of course. Bunch of Sons of Earl,
bunch of Minas Tirith guys, Knight of the White Tower. No catapult because it's 650, so not quite enough points to fit that in. But pretty scary list. I will say that the two people we played did a really good job because it was a lot closer than I think it should have been, given that we had two bears. We had a little positioning problems early on. We got one of the bears out of position, but wound up it was, I think, 8 kills for Bjorn. Bjorn killed Earl. 7 kills for Grimbjorn, something like that for both of them. So we wound up getting, I think it was an 8-2 victory on that.
Nice. That absolutely terrifies me as someone who plays Celebrant, looking aside, not only seeing two bears and a bunch of Fight 5 Bjornings, but two bears that are competing against each other and the other one's getting +1 to wound on top of that.
Yeah, wounding on twos is cool. Yeah, it
was fun. I'm a big fan.
I will say Earl got a ton of might for free. He was having to strike against the Bjornings because the first time he didn't and he lost the combat. So he was using up his strikes on Bjornings just to get through the warriors. So it was tough. I think Earl killed 4 and I think the King of Men killed 1, something like that.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Yeah. So was Devin controlling Earl or the King of the Men, just out of curiosity?
King of Men. And it was kind of funny. I actually took a picture, but Devin finally got the King of Men to charge in, and he rolled 3 ones and a 2, and he's like, oh, don't worry, I have a banner. And he bannered another 2. Devin wasn't exactly having great dice.
That's fun.
For
Gondor and Flop. But well done for you guys. That's good news for you guys. 8-2 victory. Very solid major win. And this, correct me if I'm wrong, they're doing the double VPs as a major win.
No, it's just a win's a win. It's VP differential is the tiebreaker.
Oh, interesting. So winning big is very, very good. Nice job. 8-2. Yeah, because I didn't even think about that. So there is no major minors. It's just VP differential. That's awesome. You'll have to let me know how that works out in a tournament format. That's very intriguing to me. Because of matchups and everything.
That's what the whole weekend is. It's just win, loss, draw. Yesterday, this doubles, the Masters.
Wow. And
the GT, it's just win, loss, draw.
Well, the GT also has the oaths, which is kind of funky.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
All right. Well, okay, so we're on to game 2. Marcus, why don't you take this one? What was your matchup? So you guys had a big major victory. What was your matchup, and what was the scenario?
Yeah, the matchup was against the Pits of Dol Guldur with Azog and 2 captains on Warg, Felwarg. The scenario was, I'm going to blank on the name of it. It's the one where you're split forces diagonally across the table. Taken hold. So the interesting part, the fun fact, and then I'll breeze through this report. The tables, what were there? There's 55 teams playing this event, 55 doubles teams. So 55 tables or whatever the math is there, tons of tables. There is only woodland difficult terrain. Like there's some random fields that some people are playing as difficult, just terrain with no category type. And there's only woodland tree-based plots typed difficult terrain. So we kind of got lucky that we're playing Bjornings because for a couple of these games, we were able to move in and out of trees relatively easy, which was nice. But this board was basically just a stone edge. So we deployed Azog.
Just a quick pause. Is it Azog's Legion or Azog's Hunters? You're saying Captain, so I know there's part of the Legion, but is he taking Azog's Legion?
No, it's the Pits of Dol Guldur Legendary Legion.
Oh, sorry. My bad. I didn't even hear that part. Okay.
Yeah, my bad. I probably didn't say it. No, it's the Pits of Dol Guldur. So this is the one where Azog gets the priority move and then the free hero combats.
Yes. Okay.
So it was a little bit scary because, I mean, if Azog gets into the Bjornians, he can munch through the Bjornians. And they had 38 models, I think, total in their army with quite a few Hunter Orcs. And Hunter Orcs are the bane of Bjornian's existence, in my opinion. So we deployed. They were marching. They both marched at least one time trying to get to the center. Matt and I pincered a little bit to the off center to the left, targeting away from Azog, just trying to stay out of range. And I think we can kind of skim through the whole the whole game. The first two or three turns of combat, or the first two or three turns where we're in charging range, we did a very concerted effort. We had a very concerted effort to stay out of range of Azog, just trying to keep out of range and make him pick the battles. And we got to a place where they ended up calling their special priority move. And that means that they get priority and we can't call heroic moves that turn. Right. And they charged in with both captains and Azog. One captain was on the flank. Azog and another captain teamed up on their goal was to combat through heroic combat strike and then go for Grimbjorn, who was only a few inches away from Bjorn, but they had probably two models between us, like a battle line of two models between. And fortunately, we decided to counter their aggressive play with the heroic combat, because the thought process was the captain was exposed, so if Grimbjorn's combat went first, he could go grab their captain, who was the heroic combat on their side, and kind of mess up their play a little bit and lead Azog just striking against a Bjorning. So we called it. We went to the roll-off because it's doubles. You gotta go big. You gotta go home. And we won the roll-off. Grimbjorn got into the captain, killed the captain, and then Azog was kind of left stranded. And from that point on, there was a few combats back and forth where Azog and Grimbjorn bounced off each other a turn or two. Matt lined up a great hurl across the way on a turn where we had priority and forced Azog to heroic strength to just avoid trying to be hurled off his warg, because he went up to like strength 8 or something crazy.
Oh, cool.
But ultimately, Grimbjorn won the War of Attrition just with Azog being by himself and the Bjornings absolutely doing work on all of the orcs. And so we whittled them down. They were failing courage tests. And by the time the game ended, they only had a couple models left on the board. So we were able to pull a 12-0 by dominating the center, killing the leader, breaking the army. And yeah, that was a good game for us.
Well, nicely done. The hero combat to completely shut down their Azog strike and combat, plus their automatic win priority with no counter hero grims. Well done on defensing that. All right, so that's an awesome win. Your guys are 8-2 and 12-0. So you guys are going to be getting pretty high on the table list, even though there's 55. How high of a table were you on for game 3?
Table two.
Yeah, you guys are up pretty high. It's a pretty good differential. All right, so it's game 3, Matt. What are you guys facing? What's the scenario?
Yeah, so we were playing the Black Riders, and it was the scenario, I can't remember, but where it's Maelstrom, and you have to deploy the two-leader warbands within 6 inches of the middle, and then the other warbands Maelstrom in.
Right. Yep. I can't remember the name of it, but I think it's like
Surround the Enemy or something like that. Maybe.
Yeah, that sounds right or something.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we're playing against, well, I guess probably the typical people that play Black Riders, I suppose. But
that says so much right there.
Not my.
We're not salty at all.
Yeah. I mean, so. Not my favorite opponents I've ever played, but we made quite a few mistakes in this game, and it wound up costing us. Starts off, of course, it's going to be a roll-off. We won priority, and we have to charge in because there's going to be a bunch of screeches coming your way. And we were thinking if the Nazgul run away, which they're going to do, they'll probably just sit in Black Dart, stuff to death, or pull shenanigans. So we wanted to jump into them. So they called a move with one of their generic rays. I called a move with Bjorn. Marcus isn't on the board at this point, because you play the first turn, and then I think Maelstrom occurs after that. So the interesting thing was we won the roll-off, so Bjorn's going to get a charge. And you couldn't charge both the Witch King and the Wraith that called the move. And we had a little conflict right as we began moving. They basically said we didn't call with me before we started to move the model so that nobody else got to come. So we had a discussion, wound up resolving that with me was going to occur. But then after that, instead of charging the Wraith that called the move, I charged the Witch King with Bjorn. That was a mistake. Should have charged the Wraith that called the move. The reason that was a mistake is then we only had two Bjornings that could charge the Wraith that called the move. And those two both failed their courage test. So then that move went off, which allowed them to get several shrieks into Bjorn. So Bjorn got heroic transfixed, and that set up a turn of basically what happened is Bjorn lasted three turns in the middle, winds up dying on turn three. Marcus Maelstrom's in, rolls a two for Maelstrom, and can see that Bjorn's in trouble, so he spends two might to make it a four. Winds up deploying on the south side of the board, trying to come in. So he's about 20 inches away. Meanwhile, the other rays all arrived on the south side of the board and began just screeching, shooting. So the game wound up just bent. All the bears standing still the entire time while ring rays went around picking off Bjornings, picking their combats. We killed one ring wraith with a Bjorning and wound up at the end of the game controlling one objective. We lost our leader, and they controlled the center and the two on the eastern side, and then got points for killing our leader. So I think it was a 2-8 loss. I think in hindsight, clearly, your fearless model charges the one that called the move, and then the with me doesn't matter. And then I don't think it was a good idea to spend all the might with Grimbjorn to arrive. I think we should have just let it happen and spread out and played the objectives with our low model count army. Marcus can comment on that. But, you know, you're not going to win with that many Nazgul throwing screeches trying to just get in and fight. You just got to spread it out and make them spread out on the objectives so their courage shenanigans aren't stacking. So quite a few things we could have done different. So we lost, but we lost because of a few mistakes we made. So that makes it a little easier. Fix the mistakes, and then that won't happen.
It's interesting because the entire game, we counted several times. The entire game was six turns. And so, yeah, we made several mistakes, but those mistakes were amplified tremendously because we had no ability to, like, fight back. So sometimes when you make a blunder, like over the course of the game, you can battle back to try and self-correct. But yeah, there were six total turns. And the painful part, yeah, so I spent to deploy Grimbjorn in the very center. So it was like the shortest distance. I would have been two moves. Well, once you move on the board, I was then two bear moves away from joining combat. And I thought that would be, you know, one more fearless model charging and trying to help Bjorn. In hindsight, yeah, it did work out. But the other painful part is Grimbjorn moved twice the entire game. He moved once to come onto the board, and the second turn he transformed into bear form and moved forward one more time. And the last four turns he was stuck in that position as the Nazgul screeched at him. And that was horribly impactful because there were so many fights that happened 4 or 6 inches outside of his banner range where, I mean, our Bjornings are attacking Nazgul. We're sure fight value. If they lose to us, we have a very high chance of killing them. If we lose to them, we have a very high chance of dying. And so if I would have saved those two might, in theory, right, at the start of the turn, you can force another heroic move roll off. Maybe you get that 50-50. Grimbjorn can catapult forward and bring his banner range with him more to like where all the fighting was happening. I'm sure that would have made a big difference.
Yeah, but I would agree with both those decisions of what Matt's saying. I would agree if you had an opportunity to tag the guy who called the heroic move and you had priority, that's generally the good way to go. So I agree with that mistake, and I agree with the 2 points of mice is tough because you still think you can save your bear, and one turn could make all the difference in the world of having two bears on the board or one. So that one I kind of struggle with. I understand why you guys did it. I understand why you guys are saying hindsight. But I'm just blown away by the fact that you both have small armies. I mean, you're talking a 16 model doubles army and a nine. Did they have all nine of the Nazgul?
They had eight.
So you're talking an eight model army and a 16 model army, and you only had six turns. I know you guys don't play that slow.
It is what it is. I think it's always going to be slow with Black Riders. It's just the nature. But we questioned one of the guys on the time it was taking, and the answer was there's nothing in the rules about time limits in the event pack. So the other guy kind of sped up after that. But, you know, whenever you get that response, it's going to be a slow game. And that's the nature with Black Riders.
Yeah, I think you guys are being pretty nice and sugarcoating it a little bit. I was getting a little bit of frustrated messages from Marcus.
we've had time to go to dinner and relax and kick back.
Well, I think too it can take the high road when anybody responds that there's nothing that specifies how long a move turn should take in the rules book. The listeners can draw their own conclusions from there.
And I'll add to that, whenever somebody says, well, you didn't technically say with me, so therefore you can't bring all those guys in your move, I think that also kind of speaks to the nature a little bit too. So good point, Matt. We'll take the high road and we'll leave it there. But I'm frustrated for you guys, I'm not going to lie. But that's okay. The nice thing is you guys have three more games. You still have a great VP differential. What was your final score again on the last round?
2-8.
2-8. So you only took a -6. That's not the end of the world.
It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah,
it could have very easily been 12-0 on that one.
So you're still plus 12 if I'm doing my math correctly on the day.
Yeah, I think, because we were 8-2, 2-8, and then 12-0. Yep.
So, sweet. You guys are plus 12 going into day two. Three more games. Your submarine tactics are working great. Even though you are playing on table two.
It's late game submarine. That's the new thing. You don't submarine until halfway through the event. Right before the finish. The challenge is just understanding that you hit rock bottom and trying to self-correct and start going up. Sometimes the rising back to the surface doesn't work as planned.
Well, what I love about this is the fact that there is six games. The difference between five game tournaments and six game tournaments is huge, and I think you absolutely guys are still in this. Having six games. Well,
the crazy thing in 55 teams, I think 99.9% of everybody is having like what I would call the classic doubles experience, where it's fun lists, maybe a little bit more tailored because they're trying to not totally get wrecked. But there was a Belrog Dragon combo. There were a lot of super elf alliances, like super elite elf like heroes. Like it, so that it's been super fun, and being able to play all six out of the book, it's crazy fun.
That's awesome.
Three a day, yeah. It's a good experience so far.
I love doubles. The double scenarios are by far my favorite scenarios too. All six of them, they're amazing. Super fun. And I love the team aspect of it. Especially we're kind of spoiled in the fact that we're playing, you know, with each other most of the time for doubles. So I just love that aspect of it too.
Yeah, somebody commented like that it's socially acceptable if I yell and scream at Matt because they're just brothers.
You idiot!
Slapping his hands. Yeah. Slapping his hands, kicking his shins. What are you doing?
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you guys. I appreciate you. I know it's pretty late there, and you guys got more gaming to do, but I'm hoping to do these little quick 30 minutes or less episodes at the end of each day from now on, just to get a feel for Articon, how you guys are doing, and like track your progress.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully tomorrow we have good results to share on our three games that happen tomorrow.
I hope so, too. The other thing I'm selfishly doing this for is I think I can pump out today is Thursday. So 4 episodes in a span of a week or something like that. That would be awesome because then I can say, well, we've released 5 episodes so far this year. What more do you want? Even though they're really short, quick episodes.
It still counts. It still counts.
Still only counts as fun. All right. Well, good luck to you guys. Thanks for jumping on. And hopefully we talk to you tomorrow.
Cheers, man.